Okay, so any questions about minimum spend increase from last time? So, correct me if I'm wrong, but what Leland should have talked about, he talked about Prim's algorithm for minimum spend increase. Is that right? And he told you how to prove that the tree you got was correct. That's, I guess, the important question. There should have been two algorithms that people saw for, and correct me if I'm wrong, for minimum spanning trees. There's Prim's and Kruskal's algorithms. Okay, he talked about both of them. Did he convince you that they both gave you correct spanning, minimum spanning trees? Or did he prove one and not the other, or did he prove the correctness of any of them? So do you know why the minimum spanning tree algorithms are correct? I've seen a lot of people staring at me blankly. Did he go through the correctness proof in a way that is convincing or not? Or should we go and try to convince ourselves of this? Okay. Excuse me, what? Quickly do it again. Okay, so now there's two different minimum spanning tree algorithms. There's Kruskal's algorithm and Prim's algorithm. I think I'll keep them straight this time, but I often get the names backwards. But, and in fact, one of the most depressing things, occasionally I'll meet a student who took my algorithms class, you know, a couple years later, and they say, oh yeah, I remember when I took this class, Prim's algorithm, Kruskal's algorithm. What problem were they for? What were they actually doing? Okay, and they never have any idea. They remember the names, but they don't remember that they're actually computing minimum spanning trees. They don't know why you're computing minimum spanning trees, and stuff like this. So the biggest question now is, let's go through Prim's algorithm just quickly on the fly, because I want to just make sure that people, let's see if we have an idea of correctness proof. So what was Prim's algorithm? Does anyone remember which one that was? That was, I believe, the minimum spanning tree algorithm, where you have this graph sitting there. You started from one arbitrary vertex. You found the smallest edge you could reach that got you another vertex in the tray. And then from this connected tray, you looked for where was the next edge. Let's say that was the cheapest edge that would add, have one vertex in and one vertex out. And would repeatedly do those operations, okay, until every edge was in the tray. Okay? So again, I haven't shown you the weights on it, so there's no reason for you to believe me that's a minimum spanning tree. Okay? But that's basically the general strategy of the algorithm was. Start from a vertex, we build a set of vertices that are in and a set of vertices that are out. And one by one, grow the in vertices each time. Correct? Okay. Why was this algorithm correct? Okay, and it's a greedy algorithm, is the observation. So now it's greedy in the sense that you're always making the next decision somehow. Well, okay, whether it's greedy or not, why is it correct is the important question. And did he give you any kind of proof at all of this? Anyone remember what the strategy is? Okay, so if I were going to try to prove this, I would probably use a proof by contradiction method. Okay, let's see how this sort of goes. We try to do it. So a proof by contradiction, if you remember how you must have done them in 113 and other things, you sort of assume that something is false, okay? Then based on it's false, okay, you go and show that there is a contradiction, okay? And that if you get something that's logically not true, okay, then you presumably, your assumption had to be wrong. That was the idea of a proof by contradiction. So let's say that minimum spanning, the Prim's algorithm does not give us the minimum spanning tree. Okay? Therefore, there exists a graph from which it is giving us something that is not the minimum. Is Prim's algorithm always going to give us a spanning tree? Okay, why? Because we're always grabbing vertices if we can, one iteration. The graph is connected, you're going to get a spanning tree. So the only debate is it the minimum weight spanning tree? Okay? And so a contradiction would be, here we have the tree we got from Prim's algorithm. Okay? We started from here, let's say. We got this tree, and it's not the minimum weight spanning tree. If it's not the minimum weight spanning tree, what do we know about the minimum weight spanning tree? Okay? What do we know about the minimum weight spanning tree if this is not the minimum weight spanning tree?
It's
cheaper, right? So somewhere there's a cheaper trade, okay? So let's see what happens. Now, of course, there might be lots of optimal minimum, lots of minimum spending trees, right? We agree that that's also true. So say that you just have a minimum spending tree. If I find you a different minimum spending tree, that's, you know, that's not a contradiction. I have to say that. So let's say that Prim's algorithm did not work right, okay? Then there existed a better minimum spending tree, a spending tree that was cheaper than this, right? Now, what is Prim's algorithm doing? Okay? It is going to be grabbing vertices one by one. Okay, slowly adding, growing out a tree, okay, based on the cheapest way to get add a vertex to that tree. A cheapest way to add another vertex to the existing tree, correct? Let's say that we went through the execution of Prim's algorithm and look at the point where we made the fatal mistake, okay? So suppose, let's say you're telling me, look, this is the tree that I got from Prim's algorithm, okay? And this is not a minimum spanning tree. If it's not a minimum spanning tree, then there was a point at which we added an edge that was not in any minimum spanning tree. Or to be precise, we're adding edges. And maybe when we add this edge, maybe the whole tree we got from this algorithm wasn't right. But maybe when we added this edge, there was still a spanning tree that would let us satisfy this. At some point, we're making a fatal mistake. What is a fatal mistake? It would mean that as we went through our Prim's algorithm, yes, there is a minimum spanning tree in the graph that has this edge. Yes, there's a minimum spanning tree in the graph that has this edge. And you added this edge. And now, this is the contradiction point. This is the point where you've made a mistake, and there is no tree that contains all these edges. No minimum spanning tree here. Okay? The algorithm is wrong that on some graph, it has to, at some point, make a mistake. Okay, does everybody agree with that? And what do I mean by a mistake? It means that there is no minimum spanning tree here, okay, such that that it starts out with that. Okay? So what do we now know? This was the magic mistake, the fatal moment. Okay? Now, in that case, there must have been a spanning tree, right? And this spanning tree somehow must have connected this vertex to something, right? Let's stop and think about it. How was this? Let's just think about it now. Okay, what was the mistake that we made here? Certainly, let's say there is a spanning tree. Let's say that the optimal spanning tree had this one. Maybe it looked like this. I don't know what it looks like. Maybe it looks like that. That could be the minimum spanning tree, right? And but the minimum spanning tree had to somehow connect this vertex to something, right? So where was this vertex? It was connected to something. Could we have made some kind of a mistake here? Now let's look at this. What do we know about the weight of this blue edge here compared to the weight of this red edge here? We know that the red edge had to be at least as small as that blue edge, right? Everybody agree with that? Did the red edge have to be smaller than this black edge, or at least as small as this black edge? Had to be less than or equal to all these other guys as well, right? Okay, because if not, Prim would have chosen them, right? So we know that red is, in this case, less than all these other non-red edges. Okay? Now, you're telling me that Prim was wrong, okay? That the minimum spanning tree was, in fact, these red edges plus the blue edges. Okay? What happens if I delete, let's say, this edge and add this edge? Do I still have a spanning tree? Let's make sure. Let me just draw this a little bit carefully here. Okay? There was this. What is my spanning tree that you found for me? It was this green thing. Now, if I add this red edge to the green thing, it's going to create a cycle, right? Where's going to be the cycle? It's going to go from here, in this case, up to that. One of those edges, I claim, had to be an edge that we had the choice of making when we were at Friends, but didn't, right? We had the choice of making this edge, but we instead chose this. If we delete this edge from the cycle, from the tray, and add that one instead, do we have a spanning tray? Is the spanning tray here less than or equal to what you made? Because I claim this new spanning tree, I'm replacing an edge you picked with an edge you said is lighter than that. So isn't this a lower minimum spanning tree? So how did you have an optimal spanning tree when I just found a smaller one? Okay, the answer is you didn't. Okay, that's the contradiction. Okay? Any questions about that? Yes, question. Yes. So the basic idea is this. When Friends is going through its business, it's building a tree happily, spanning out from here. Okay, always looking to add somebody else into the thing. Okay? If I made a mistake here, okay, if you're telling me I didn't have a spanning tree, this minimum spanning tree this way, I'm going to show you how to build a smaller spanning tree. If the optimal spanning tree was not built in this way, I am going to show you a way to build a better one. Okay, let's say all the weights, edges are of different weights, just so we avoid the complications of ties, which are a little trickier to reason about, although no different. We know that when we chose this, if you're telling me this is where I made my mistake, that in fact at the minimum spanning tree, all those edges were here. This is the first edge that was not in the minimum spanning tree. Well, what do I actually know? You are going to be building a different spanning tree on the rest of the points. And eventually, your spanning tree is going to have to connect up to this vertex, right? So what do we know? Your spanning tree has to go to this vertex and also had to have chosen another edge out instead of this one. Right? Does everybody agree with that? Well, if so, then I claim since when I chose this edge because this edge was less than that edge. I can build a better minimum spanning tree by deleting your blue edge and adding my supposedly incorrect green edge here. Okay? Clearly, it is still a minimum spanning tree. It's clearly still a spanning tree. I haven't created any cycles because your edge and my edge are going to, when I add my edge to your tree, I'm going to create a cycle. But I'm not going to break that cycle by taking the other way out. And so what remains is going to have to be still a minimum spanning tree, but still has the magic property that, in fact, I have lowered the total weight of the tree. Therefore, your tree wasn't right. Any questions? How do people sort of see it? Okay? Many people don't see it. I would like to see it again. Okay? So some risk spending. There's nothing more than a risk. Any other people want to see it again? Okay? Yes, question. Well, let's take a look at what minimum... Okay, so what is going to happen? Let's do an example of Prim's algorithm if you want. So I have to give you a graph with weights on it, right? What are the weights that you want? I'm just going to randomly give numbers. 8, 1, 3, 2, 4, 6, 7, 9, 12, 7, let's make it 5, 13, and 11. Okay? So that's my graph. Where am I going to start from? Okay, if I'm executing Prim's algorithm, what am I going to do? I'm going to start from any vertex. Which vertex should I start from? This one is closer. Okay? So which one am I going to pick first? Which one am I going to pick next? Picking the edge that will link in the vertex. Remember, somehow, what am I doing? I have this tree thing that I'm growing. The tree that is growing, that's what trees do. Okay? And it's only going to swallow up every vertex. I want to have this grow. I'm going to add it in by adding the lowest weight edge that is adjacent to this, yeah? Is that what? Oh, I see. Why did I grab the 12? Okay, that's a good question. Okay? So what should I have grabbed?
Six.
Six, you're right. Okay, sorry. You're 100% right. The numbers are the weights. I didn't give them names, so you're right. That's a six. Now what's the next thing that I'm going to add?
Seven.
Now what am I going to add? Next one. Or next one. Next one. What? Well, I need a weight.
This is
a weight. I got to get an 8, a 5, or 11, or that. 5. What's my next one? That I claim is my minimum spanning strength by executing Grimm's algorithm, right? Okay? Now, what is the argument that is correct? Suppose this was not correct. Then there was going to be a certain moment where I grabbed a edge when I'm building these things. I grab that I make a fatal mistake, meaning I pick an edge that is not in a spanning frame, not in a minimum spanning frame. Let's say you say, wait a second, this 4 looks like the lowest thing you don't have in here. Maybe you'd be better off having picked that 4, right? That might be the kind, again, if this was a counterexample, which edge did I make my mistake on if this was a counterexample? I'd say probably this one. This is the slowest one, right? This is where it was weight 4. 13 to 8, okay, let's make that thing at 25, okay? So that's why I didn't pick, okay, 25. Okay? But suppose I made my mistake here. Tell me that the optimal minimum spanning tree had this one and did not have this one. Well, that's silly, right? Because we know this one had to be lower than the other one. But look what happens when I disconnect this thing. If you're adding that edge to the minimum span, let's say we take this thing off. What has happened? This component is now floating, right? So you're adding somebody else to replace it. And when I add back that extra edge, it's creating a cycle, right? To restore a spanning tree, I can blow away any one of these edges on the cycle. Okay? Why then couldn't I blow away the... Well, the 2's already in the... Okay. I can delete, I claim... The highest cost edge is going to leave me the cheapest tree, right? Do you agree that now, if I add this thing here, now I've got a cycle in my tree. And that's bad. What edge, if I want the lowest weight tree, what edge do I have to delete from the cycle? The heaviest one, right? So by blowing this one away, okay, now I've got my tree again. Okay? So what was the counterexample? What was the contradiction? The contradiction is by noticing that if at any point I make a mistake in trends, I made that mistake picking the lowest weight edge to join something from the inside to something from the outside, right? That's really what I was doing, right? Now, in any spanning tree, somehow you're going to have to link something from... We know the inside is right. Why? Because that's where the contradiction was. It told me that I was doing well up to here and this was the bad mistake. Well, what do I now know? You're going to give me a tree. That tree is going to have exactly one edge that goes from the inside to the outside. Why is that? Your tree has to have all the inner edges, because you told me I was right up to here. Why do I know you only have one edge going from in to out? Well, what? Because it's not just going to be cycled. Well, okay. There might be cycled. There's at least one. There might be more than one. You're right. Because it might be that these things couldn't have gone into pieces in the optimal tree. But we know that there is at least one other edge that you chose to go from inside to outside. Okay? And if I replace that, take my edge instead of yours, it will still be connected, and yet the tree will be lower weight. That is the argument of correctness. Any questions? Yes? No. It's not that I'm saying I didn't fix a lower. Okay. Let's say that you are. Okay. You know the minimum spanning tree. Okay. You are. God Almighty. You know the minimum spanning tree. Okay. And you know that if I have an incorrect algorithm, okay, you would be telling me, hey, Skeena, do this graph. Okay. And you'd be sitting there watching me do this graph, right? And the moment that I make a fatal mistake, meaning I added an edge to my tree that was not there in a minimum spanning tree, you would hit a buzzer and say, here's where you're wrong. Right? Because there is no minimum spanning tree that contains these things you already had. Okay? If my algorithm is wrong, there has to be a graph where I get it wrong, right? Suppose there is no graph where I get it wrong. What does that mean? My algorithm is right. If I get it wrong, and my algorithm is basically adding edges one by one, there is going to be a certain point at which it may be the first edge I add is bad, it may be the 10th edge I add is bad, but there's a certain point at which I'm going to get the thing wrong. And what is the case at that point? Up to that point, the tree that I had before that, you told me I was right in, right? So this appears in the optimal spanning tree. There's no doubt about it. This you're telling me was a wrong edge. This does not appear in the minimum spanning tree, even though it is the cheapest weight edge that goes from inside to outside. And I'll say, no, you're wrong. Why? Well, let me show you. What edge did you pick in your spanning tree? Well, I had this thing here. Okay? Well, if you add this thing back, delete this, you add this and delete that, you're going to get a spanning, I claim that will still be a spanning tree. And it will obviously be of lower weight. You have to convince yourself that's a spanning tree. Okay? Any questions? Yes? No, I am confident in the claim that minimum that Briggs algorithm does not always pick the minimum spanning tree. Yes. Okay, so Briggs algorithm does always give you the minimum spanning tree. Any questions? Is this familiar with what he was saying or something similar? Did he talk about minimum spanning trees last time? Or any questions? Okay? Good. So that's Briggs' basic algorithm. What was the other algorithm that we had, just out of curiosity? Does anyone remember the other afternoon spanning tree algorithm? You may not have proved it correct, but what did he do? Kruskal. What did he add to Kruskal's algorithm for? What did it do, someone? What did it do? Yeah. Sorted the edges from smallest to biggest and kept adding them until they created a cycle. Right? That's basically what it did. And why was that correct? Let's even go with an argument that one is correct. Okay, maybe the same kind of an argument. Suppose we're going through Prim's and Kruskal's algorithm, and you're telling me again, I make a mistake. You know, I'm slowly adding edges, the world is looking good, everyone's very happy. But suddenly, this edge that I added is not supposed to be in the minimum spanning tree. What do I now know? Okay?
I know that now, the optimal minimum spending tree, I got all those block edges, because I hadn't made any mistakes so far, right? And it contained other edges.
Maybe these edges are green, I guess.
I can contain other edges, too. I claim adding an edge. If I add this edge to what you claimed was the minimum spanning tree, it will create a cycle, correct? Further, I claim at least one of those edges had to be something of higher weight. Why do I know that there has to be some other edge of higher weight in here? Well, when I added this edge, it didn't create a cycle in my tree, in the black edges. Why? Because that was my condition, right? I'm adding the edges so that they don't make a cycle with what I had so far. So I know this red edge and the black edges don't make a cycle. Now, because you gave me a spanning tree, if I add an edge, the black edges plus the green edges plus the red edges have a cycle. And I know that cycle has at least one green edge on it, right? What do I know about that green edge? That weight had to be larger than this, or else I would have stuck that one in first, right? And so therefore, if I delete this edge and add that edge, I get a lower weight tree. That was Kruskal's, the proof of Kruskal's algorithm. Any questions? Okay? So think about the correctness argument. Again, proof by God predictions don't always seem very satisfying sometimes. Okay, but think about why. I was really showing you how to construct a lower weight spanning tree if I made a mistake. And that's really what the heart of the argument is. Any questions? Yes? An example. Okay, it's hard to do an example of a proof. Okay? Because sometimes, remember, it's a proof by contradiction. So I'm proving, you make an assumption that I'm making a mistake, I'm proving you it doesn't exist. It's hard to do that by an example. Yes? You mean go through an execution of the algorithm?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. So what was Kruskal's algorithm? Again, basically, let's say I was given let's make a different graph now, right? Anybody else does make that one Y to make up for this here. What weights do we like? 1, 2, 4, 7, 6, 5, 9, 13, 12, 11, 10, -6. Okay? Actually, it turns out there's nothing wrong with negative weight edges in the complete measurements. Okay? So what is the lowest weight edge?
-6. Yeah, that is when you have it on.
Good. What is the next lowest weight edge in the tree? What is the next lowest weight edge in the tree?
2.
What is the next lowest weight edge in the tree? What is the next lowest weight edge in the tree? But can I add it? No, it creates a cycle. So 5 is gone. What's the next lowest weight edge?
6.
What is the next lowest weight edge?
7.
But it creates a cycle, right? Next lowest weight edge? Next lowest weight edge?
10, and I think that's actually all I need. Now everybody's connected, right? Yeah?
Wait, was that? I already did connect 9. It was connected as an isolated thing. Kruskal's algorithm started from one vertex and grew a tree. Kruskal's algorithm is just growing edges, you know, in a random way, in an arbitrary way, not necessarily connected. But from smallest weight to largest weight until you create a cycle. Any questions? Any questions at all? Yes? Which one? Bruce Colton first. Let's do crucibles, and the room was actually a bit easier. I may have actually finessed a couple of issues in the Prim's algorithm. But let's just go through and make sure we understand crucibles. So why is crucibles correct? Let's assume all edges have different weights, just to make things simpler, right? Okay? What is the argument that crucibles is correct? Well, crucibles algorithm is going to be adding edges, right? Adding edges to the minimum spanning frame. Sometimes it's going to join things. Maybe that's it. And slowly growing the minimum spanning tree like this. Okay, when the lowest weight edge happens to already be, happens to span two vertices that are already in the tray, in the same convected component of the tray, well, that creates a cycle, right? Now let's argue that so that's what the algorithm is doing, and it stops when every vertex is in one component. Clearly, it gives us a spanning tree, right? Because it's going to add every, it's going to basically add every, the first edge we can that will link two things, unless they're already linked. So clearly we get a spanning tree. What is the argument that it is not, that it is a minimum spanning tree? Suppose it isn't. Then on some graph, if we execute Prim's algorithm, there will come a time when Kruskal wanted to add this edge, and in fact, the minimum spanning tree did not have this edge. It had all the edges before it, plus some other edges. What were the other edges? Where do you want the other edges to be? Maybe that one, this one. No, not that one. You shouldn't have both of them, right? That would have been a cycle. But maybe, which one do you want it to have? This one or, that one. This one. Okay, no. Is everything now a spanning tree? Remember, this part is not connected. This edge was not connected because this was a mistake. Maybe you add, if this edge is not here, do we have a spanning tree? Yes, we do. Okay, I know that my colors are a little light here, so. Okay, so let's say that, in fact, this was the optimal spanning tree. Okay? Is it connected without this? No, so it could not. It had to have some other edge, right? What other edge might it have had if it didn't have this edge? It has to be something that links this thing to that thing, right? So where should it be? Why not? Let's add that one. What do I now know? The red edges were added before this thing. The green edges would have been added later if I continued with Kruskal's algorithm. This was the point at which I went wrong. But what do I now know? If I don't have this here, is this a spanning tree? Yes, because what you're telling me was the optimal spanning tree. But suppose I, in fact, add this edge. We no longer have a spanning tree because of what? Because there is one cycle in the graph created. This cycle, I claim, has to have at least one green edge on it. Why? Well, when I added this edge, what are the choices? There's red edges, green edges, and this edge. The green edges were added after this. The red edge is this edge here I added because I thought it was going to help me build a spanner and a spanning tray. That meant that the time that I decided to add it, I did not have a cycle here, right? Or else I would never have added it. But now, since I do have a spanning tree without it, if I add that thing back, I do create a cycle. So there has to be at least one green edge on the cycle. Notice that if I add this edge back and delete any one of the edges, the green edges on that cycle, I do have a spanning tree. And the edge has, the weight has to be less than before. Because this edge has to be less than that edge. Okay? So there's two parts of the fruit. Why is it cheaper? And that's pretty obvious. Well, you added this guy later, and it was, you know, you always shop from cheaper to more expensive. The second question is, why is it a minimum, why is it still a spending trend? And the reason is because adding this created a cycle now where it didn't create a cycle before. And therefore, there had to be at least one heavy edge on it. Any questions? Yes? What is the time complexity of Kruskal's algorithm, okay? What was the time complexity of Kruskal's algorithm? Let's go through this thing. We have to do what in Kruskal's algorithm? What's the first thing we have to do? How much time does it take to sort the edges? M log M, where M is the number of edges, right? To sort, right? We're then going to go through a certain number of iterations, where at each iteration we're going to go test, try another edge, and see if it's a good thing or a bad thing, right? So that's going to be M times something. Does everybody agree with that? What am I doing in each test? I haven't sorted in order of size. So what is it that is the decision I have to make to decide whether or not, when I add the edge, whether or not it's something I want to keep or I want to throw it away? What do I have to do? What's the decision point? Why do I decide to keep it versus throwing it away? Yeah? Because it doesn't create a cycle. How much time will it take to test if the graph has a cycle in it? Then I may be able to do it in a more macho way, faster, so it's... But what is a way to do it? Give me a way to do it. Go through, I have a spanning tree so far, right? Or I have an edges so far. That's a graph, right? How many edges? And you want to say, basically, add this new edge to what I have so far and ask, does the graph have a cycle in it? How much time does that, how much time does that take to do? What? How much time does it take to test if a graph has a cycle in it? Order N plus M, right? If a number of edges plus a number of vertices, how would I test if a graph has a cycle in it? How do you do that? We talked about that, I know. How do you test if a graph has a cycle? What? Depth first search or breadth first search to get around your back edges or until you get back to where you're going, right? So that would take time proportional to the number of edges plus vertices in the tree. How many edges and vertices can you have in the tree? You have an N vertex graph and an M vertex. N vertices and M edges in the original graph. How many vertices and edges can be in the tree? How many vertices might be in the tree? N. How many edges might be in the tree? N minus 1, or actually something like that, basically N, right? N plus N is 2 times N. So doing this test by just doing it in the backtrack, you know, by basically doing depth first search for the cycle test, that you could do in a total of N times N times. Does everybody agree with that? Important to understand the algorithm this much, okay? Any questions about where N times N comes up for the complexity of Kruskal's algorithm? Like, I don't understand it. I don't see how you get N times N. Yeah? Okay, I didn't... N times log N up here, the sort. You're right. Okay? Which is bigger, N times M or N log M? Presumably, this is the dominant term, although you can imagine a weird enough graph. I'm going to say the M log M. Is it possible that log M is bigger than M? Not if it's a simple graph. Right? If it was a simple graph, then it's not going to be. But clearly, this is the cost. And if it's a graph such that has more than log N vertices, then certainly this is the dominant thing, right? What's the smallest number of vertices you can have for a graph with edges? With a simple graph, nothing weird. You could have, obviously, you've got two vertices. You could say if it's not a simple graph, you could have an arbitrary number of edges. But if we said that every pair of vertices only has one edge between them, if I have m edges, how many vertices do I have? At least. Not n plus 1. Suppose I tell you that I have m edges. How many vertices do I have as a function of n? What's the smallest number of vertices I can have if it's a simple graph where every pair of edges can only have one edge between them? Okay? Suppose I tell you that between here there are n, if there are m edges, and I claim that m is always less than or equal to n squared. Does everybody agree with that? So what does that mean? That means that n is greater than or equal to square root of m. Does everybody agree with that? So what does that mean? Which of these is bigger? N log m or m log m? Well, this is the same as saying this is m times n plus log m. What's the biggest? If we know that n is greater than or equal to square root of m, which is bigger, square root of m or log m? Square root of m, right? So therefore, this is greater than or equal to square root of m. Then I can drop this. This is not so important, right? So that's why I said the algorithm was orders mn. Okay? But that's really the time. Does everybody agree that the real time is this plus this? And all I'm saying is that this is all relevant to this. Okay? Any questions? Yes?
Can you explain how we have, there's a cycle, we have n times the number of adjacent.
How did I test whether there was a cycle? The way that I'm testing it now, okay, just so I can explain it, is I tested this using a depth-first or breadth-first search. Suppose I give you a partial tree, like this, and I add an edge to it. Now I've got a graph that may or may not have a cycle in it, right? I was in trouble if I now have a cycle. Given a graph, how do you test if it has a cycle? Okay? Remember we talked about doing it with depth first search? If you did a depth first search, if you ever had a back edge, it was all over. You had a cycle. So I could test for a cycle by doing a depth first search of what I have plus the edge. Okay? And that would do it in order n plus the number of edges in the graph, which happens to be the number of vertices plus at most one. The number of three edges plus or most one, because I'm adding one more, right? So this is how I could do it in n times n. Okay? Yes? Well, because I'm going to be going through this cycle of, here is an edge, does it create trouble? Here, and if it does, throw it out. If it doesn't, add it to the tree, right? It might be that I have to do that for every single edge in the graph. Right? How many times do I have to go through this process till I have absorbed every single vertex? It might be that there's one vertex. It's so hard that this place is hard to get. Okay? That if there's only one edge to it, and it costs $1 billion. Okay? Maybe there's, you know, this is an island. Okay? And it's connected by some satellite link or some undersea cable. Who knows? It's cheap. All these edges are cheaper, but they don't help me making the graph any better, right? And connecting the graph anymore. It's not until my nth edge I consider that suddenly I get a spanning tree. So for each edge in the graph, potentially, I have to go through the cycle of saying, hey, do you create a cycle? Okay? And that's why it's N times N. Any questions? Okay? Now, in fact, as they talked about in class, and may have been confusing, by using fancy data structures, you can do this in M log M. I'm log n, I believe. Okay? But make sure you understand the simple way to do it before you get lost in the more powerful way. Any questions? Okay? So I'm not going to talk about this particular. Did you talk about the union fine data structure last class? Okay, that's how you can do it faster, but at least understand how to do it this fast. Okay? Any questions? Okay, let's now look at the problem of the day just to see if we understand it. Any questions at all about spanning trees? Okay? Problem of the day says what? Suppose we are given a minimum spanning tree. Okay? And, you're given a minimum spanning tree at a new edge that you want to add to the graph. Find a minimum spanning tree of that graph plus the new edge. Okay, it says it should run in linear time in the number of vertices to receive full credit, although slower but correct algorithms will receive credit. Can someone give me a simple algorithm? So given a minimum spanning tree of a graph and another edge, computes the minimum spanning tree of that graph plus the edge. Okay? Yeah?
Counting the cost of adding that edge, if that were to every single other.
Well, let's think what we're saying here. What are we giving as input? Let's make sure we understand the problem. Suppose I give you as input, it says here, I give you a graph. And I give you a minimum spanning tree of this graph. Finding little bit. Okay? I give you a minimum spanning tree of this graph. And now I add another edge to the graph. It's not yet a minimum spanning tree, is it? Has to have that edge, right? Now, suppose I add another edge to the graph. And I now want to know the minimum spanning tree of the new graph. Can you give me an algorithm to compute the minimum spanning tree of the new graph? First of all, give me a correct but perhaps slow way to compute the minimum spanning tree of the graph. Yeah? Okay, well now you tell me, I heard a correct algorithm. One said, take the old edges of the graph and add the new tree to edge to it and compute the minimum spanning tree again, right? Everybody agree that would give me the correct minimum spanning tree, right? That, of course, throws out the fact that you already had an old spanning tree. Okay? Now let's try a better algorithm. See if we can find an algorithm that doesn't throw out the old spanning tree, but works from the old spanning tree to give us does it make it cheaper? Okay. What can we do with the old edge and the old spanning tree and the new edge and see whether it helps? Okay. Any ideas? Now if you have to still have an idea. Any ideas? Yeah. Well, wait, so you tell me I'm storing what in a heap? Edges that are in the tree or edges that are in the graph? So I storm the edges, and now the entire edges in the graph, the original input graph, sorted, or in a heap, you're telling me. Okay, now how much time will it take to build a heap on the input edges of the graph? I don't see where it says that. Okay? So I know that doesn't count. Okay? Yes, any other ideas? I've got a middle span through the old graph, and I'm adding another edge to it. Okay? That means that the tree plus this edge has to form a cycle. Is that obviously true? Yes, that's obviously true, right? Or else you didn't have a tree before, right? So now I've got a tree and a cycle. What does that mean? Now what do I do with that? Yeah? You really want to say is, let's look at that cycle that we've created. Where was that cycle? There. And then from here, it looked like it went ka-chunk, 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 here. Under what condition will that edge help me? Yeah? If the sum of all these edges was greater than this, is it the sum of all the edges? So you're telling me that this edge is a weight 50. What, weight 50. Okay? If the sum of all these edges is a weight 100. Well, it looks like the critical part of my tree is this, right? This is what created the cycle. Under what condition is this edge completely useless? Yeah? Well, certainly if it's greater than every edge in the spanning tree already, it does me no good. Okay, but is there suppose it isn't. Does that mean that it necessarily does me good? What is the criteria that under which it will not do me good? Yes.
Well, in the first case, if it's more than all combined, then you just get rid of it. But if it's the case that it's actually less than the combined, then you go through the path from beginning to end and just get rid of the heaviest one in there.
So basically, the condition under which this is useful, it has nothing to do with how it compares to the sum of all of them. It has to do with what is the cheapest edge on the path in the tree from here to here. Or the most expensive, right? If the most expensive edge from here to here is 51 or more, then what are we better off doing? We add that one back and we blow it away. And we still have a spanning tree. But it is cheaper, right? Everybody agree with that? Okay? And if this is heavier than everybody else in that cycle, is that edge going to possibly do me any good? No, it will not. So this is the critical test, it certainly seems. Okay? How does that edge compare to the edges in that cycle? Okay? The cycle that gets created by it in the spanning tree. Any questions? Yes? Only the edges on the cycle that got created when you added this thing. What happens when you have a tree and add an edge to it? Here's a tree. The moment I add an edge anywhere, let's say I add an edge from here to there, that's a nice place, it's going to create a cycle, right? Now, to restore it being a spanning tree, I can delete any one of the edges on that cycle. Right? Does everybody agree with that? And the way to lower, the way to take advantage of this edge is to lower it by delete the cheapest one. Yes.
What if you're adding a vertex and not an edge? You also do it
if you're trying to figure out. Well, suppose I'm adding a vertex, and this vertex was not in the graph before. Well then, if you're adding me a vertex, what else are you adding? Just the vertex, or how many edges? You add me one edge, if there's one vertex, you're adding me a new vertex, I've only got one edge to connect it to the rest of the graph. Is that edge got to be in the tree? Yeah, what if it costs $1 million? It has to be in the tree? It still does. It doesn't matter what the cost is. Yeah?
At the edge to the two points are not connected to the graph at all. So you might just be adding new edges to it.
Wait, what if what you're saying is, what if my minimum span, if I'm adding an edge, you gave me what was a minimum spanning tree, and I add another edge. Well, if I add an edge that's totally outside here, then you didn't give me a minimum spanning tree. You didn't give me a spanning tree of all the points to begin with. What are the choices here? If you give me a spanning tree means it visits every vertex. It connects all the vertices together. You can make a phone call from one place to any other place, right? So any place I add an edge, I'm going to create a cycle that goes between them. Right? Does everybody agree to that? Any two vertices here. That's an important property of a tree. It's a maximal connect, it's a minimal edge connected graph. Any more edge you add, you've got you've got cycles. Okay, yes. Oh, okay, so what this is saying is it's certainly, I'm making an assumption that it is not a second copy of an edge that is already in the tree. Suppose it was, is that an easy or a hard case? That's an easy one, right? What would I then do? Well, then the cycle I'm creating is in fact a cycle between two vertices, right? So it's a special case of the previous algorithm, right? Just find what is the shortest edge on that cycle and blow it away. And what's the heaviest edge and blow it away. Any questions? So how much time will this algorithm take? How would I find out the heaviest edge on the cycle? How much time will that take? Worst case, n. Why is that? What, how am I going to do it? Basically, I'm going to build a graph, do a depth first search, wait till I get a back edge. I know there's only one cycle of interest, right? So I don't have to worry about not finding my cycle. The first cycle I find is the only cycle. And now I've then got a three edges going down and this back edge. And now I go and ask myself, I go back and walk down again. Hey, what's wait. Okay? I take the smallest one, find the largest one in the bunch, and cut it out. Any questions? Okay? Any questions about that? Yes?
Did you say it has to be a linear part?
Depth first search takes n plus m time. It's linear in the number of edges and vertices. If you give me a special graph that has only n edges, then it's order n, right? Because m is in fact n. N plus m is 2 times n. Okay? Any questions? Okay, any questions about this now? Now we agree, let's just actually go one more step further since we're beating this to death now. Let's try one more step on this. We agree that adding that extra edge, certainly it should be obvious to you that if I add an extra edge to my minimum spanning tree, and this edge is smaller than the lowest weight edge in the graph in that cycle, certainly I'm better off deleting the heavy edge and adding that. That you'll agree with, right? How do I know that's the optimal minimum spanning tree of the entire graph, though? How do I know that, in fact, that's the best, that maybe by adding this edge, it did some other mojo to the graph and something else is better? How do I know that the optimal minimum spanning tree had to look like that? Let's try to think about that. Okay? So what was the
situation? You had, it was like the proof of the other, where you had, you had a heavier edge that you were claiming was the minimum, and then you found one that was lighter.
I guess what you're saying is that if we have been going through Kruskal's algorithm, and I had, and I sort of had set my alarm clock to wake up at the moment that I would have added the new edge, then at the time when I would have added the new edge in Kruskal's algorithm, the entire graph, this whole thing, there was not yet a path from here to there, right? Because if there was a path from here to there, that would have meant that this was heavier than all the other ones in there, and the tree would not have helped me. So you're right, the proof of Kruskal's algorithm is the proof, basically, that this is correct. Okay? Any questions about that? Like, I don't see it, and I'd like to see it explained again. Any questions? Okay? So minimum spanning trees are, sort of things that are nice because they can, in fact, be computed easily. Any questions? Okay. Let's now talk about, so we talk about minimum spanning proof, about minimum spanning trees all day. I wanted to talk about shortest paths, but all we did was talk about minimum spanning trees. Okay? And so it looks like I'm very much behind for my lecture. Okay? And maybe you're going to get another delay on the, when the midterm is due. But fortunately, that's not necessary. Okay? So why is that not necessary? So I'm going to be talking about the shortest path problem in graphs. Finding the shortest path. And what's going to be amazing about it is if we look at the difference between Grimm's algorithm and Kruskal's algorithm, I am only going to change two lines of code plus the name of the function. Okay? So once we really understand Grimm's algorithm and how it works, a little change to it is going to give us shortest paths. Okay? So let's talk about shortest paths. Let's put Grimm's algorithm aside. You supposedly know it, but we'll talk about it again when we look at the implementation. Let's look at shortest path problem. Shortest path problem in a graph says, I am giving you a graph, and I want to find the shortest path between a pair of vertices. Why might I care about this? Give me an application where I might care about finding the shortest path. Okay, yes. Internet routing? It could be in internet routing. That I want my packets to sign my email to get from you, me to you as quickly as possible. Is it a set of connections that are edges that are connected with the other? Maybe I want the shortest path. In fact, in internet routing, that's not clear that's what I want. Because this is an aside, actually. In fact, the shortest path is not what I want in internet routing. Just because the shortest path from me to you is probably also the shortest path from my next door neighbor to you. And we would probably all send our mail the same way, and then that would become the slowest path, because everybody is on it, right? The fastest way to get between here and Manhattan would change if everybody decided they wanted to do it, okay? So yeah, I'll try another one, yeah. Well, okay, routing problems in networks turn out to be a strange phenomenon because you want to balance the load throughout it. There's a little bit of a different question. The question of, I want to figure out, what is the shortest place for me to you? Why might I want to do this? What was that? Driving direction, exactly. If I'm going to be driving, you want me to go to my grandmother's house for dinner. My next door neighbor does not want to go to my grandmother, okay, as well, okay? So my taking that route is not going to congest it. I want the shortest way, the quickest way to do that, okay? Where did we talk about shortest path so far? Okay, did we talk about any algorithm for computing shortest paths? Traveling salesman, backtracking, and let me show you the shortest path, an algorithm for computing the shortest path between two points. What was the shortest way to do that? What? Without weights. Red first search. Red first search was an algorithm for computing shortest way paths, right? Traveling salesman was something different. We had to visit everybody. I don't want the shortest path for me and my grandma. I want my shortest path to visit everybody in my family. And that's a different problem, right? Okay? That's a big problem, actually. Okay? But shortest path is to find the shortest path from me to you. Now, suppose I modeled the roadmap by an unweighted graph, and I ran breadth-first search on it. What will breadth-first search give me? If we do a breadth-first search for me, what is the path in the breadth-first search tree between me and my grandma? What property does it have? Is it the shortest? Least number of edges. It's shortest in the sense of having the least number of edges. Now, is that necessarily the shortest path in a weighted graph? Okay, and that's obviously not. You know, suppose, let's say, that the least number of edges is this big detour. I might know this back road where it's weighed, okay, that will get me there, in fact, faster. Okay? So when we add weights to the edges, suddenly the shortest path between two nodes is not necessarily the one with the smallest number of edges. Everybody sort of agree with that? Okay. What might be an algorithm to find the shortest path between two nodes? Let's think about this a little bit. Suppose I give you this graph, and I give you weights. Edge weights. 1, 4, 7, 3, 2, 6. What's the path? Give me an algorithm to find the shortest path between here and grandma. What might be an algorithm? Yes. So one possibility, as I say, I will take the shortest road out of my house. And then I can take the shortest road from there to someplace else. And keep going, and eventually I'm going to stumble over grandma. Okay, does that look like the right algorithm? No, okay. Now certainly if I just follow the short edges by itself, sometimes it pays to take the express look. Okay, it's a long entry. Okay? So what algorithm, any ideas how we might find shortest paths in graphs? Okay? Any ideas? By the shortest path to from the vertex to every other point, what if I built a spanning tree on the vertices such that I figured out the shortest path from me to every other vertex in the graph? If I do the shortest path from me to every other vertex in the graph, do I know the shortest path from here to grandma? Yeah, because grandma is a vertex in the graph. Okay? Would this be described as a tree? Let's think about this. Is the shortest path relation from me to every other vertex in the graph? Obviously, there's a path. Shortest path from me to grandma is a path. The shortest path from me to my wife in the hospital, I think of afterwards, is a path. Okay? Is the union of those going to be paths, or might there be a cycle in it? Is it possible that the shortest path structure has a cycle in it? What would that mean? Okay. Is this possible? What? So this says to you, wait a second. There could be, okay, let's think about it. If there was this kind of structure, wouldn't that represent trouble? Certainly, that means that there is a way to get to here in a given number of distance. Let's say that's 10. This gives me another way to get there, right? Suppose this way was different than the other way. Right? The cost was different. Then one of them should not be in my shortest path tree, right? What if they are both the same cost? Do I care that there's two ways to get from here to grandma at the same time? No, because I'm driving one way, right? So I could, if they were two different ways, I might as well just only think about the trade, right? So I think shortest paths give me the shortest paths from me to everybody else in the graph. I claim that information is described by a tree. Does everybody sort of believe that? Okay, that should sort of be clear now. Any questions, though? So one algorithm to find shortest path would be to do backtracking to find all possible paths between me and Grandma and take the shortest. But what's the problem with that? Well, that's very exponential in time, right? There are lots of different paths. Okay? So what my claim is, finding shortest path is finding a very, very special spanning tree on the vertices. Does everybody agree with that? Okay? Is the spanning tree a minimum spanning tree? Let's think about that. Is this necessarily a minimum spanning tree? Can someone show me a graph that, let's see, is it definitely not the minimum spanning tree? Let's think of a graph where it is not the minimum spanning tree. Okay? Any ideas, or? Yeah? Okay? So, well, let's say, so you want to say, well, let's say the following is true. Let's say that every edge of the graph has weight larger than 1, larger than or equal to 1. If all these rows were of unit length, is this a minimum spanning tree? If every edge has weight greater than or equal to 1, is that a minimum spanning tree? Suppose there was an edge from here to here. Let's forget the big grandma move, okay? And this edge has weight 2. Is that interesting to the minimum spanning tree? Is that edge interesting for the minimum spanning tree? For the minimum spanning tree? No. Gives me a way to get here at a cost of 2. Every other edge in the spanning tree is weight 1. Right? So from the minimum weighted spanning tree, this is not interesting. But for driving the grandma, is it interesting? I claim yes, right? This is a faster way for me to get the grandma than through the minimum spanning tree. Everybody agree with that? So shortest paths are building spanning trees. And yet it is not building minimum spanning trees. Okay, is everybody, any questions about that? This is important to see. Okay, like, I don't see why that is. It's a good question now. Any questions? So we need to modify our minimum spanning tree algorithm to do it. And let me just give you a quick, again, we're running out of time. So let me just quickly show you how I computed minimum spanning tree using Prim's algorithm. And let me show you then how I'm going to change it using Dijkstra's algorithm. Okay? Prim's algorithm did what? Okay? Basically, it initialized all the vertices to not being in the tree and that they knew nothing about their parents. Then basically, while there is some vertex that is not in the tree yet, okay? Again, I'm going to have to read through this thing. Basically, who was the last, okay, here I'm adding, okay, what is my basic step here? I added a new vertex to the, let's try to think about this, okay? Each iteration in Prim's, I added a new vertex to the tree. Right? That's what Prim's did. Okay? For this new vertex, what am I going to do? I am going to consider all the outgoing edges from that new vertex. That's the only thing that's changed since the previous iteration, right? And see, does this improve, somehow give me a better way to get to some other vertex that is outside the tree? Right? That's really what Prim's algorithm was doing. Okay? So what was the situation? For every edge outside of it, let this be the weight of that edge. If the distance to the, this is, okay, so for every edge out of, what is this basically saying? Out of my new vertex V, let W be the other edge endpoint of it, and weight be its weight. If, okay, the current way I know about to get to this outside vertex is heavier than my current way, than the way I just found, and this vertex is not yet in the minimum spanning tree. That means that I found a cheaper way to get to that vertex, right?
I had this fringe. I started out with some vertex that was in the spanning tree. I'm growing. I had ways of getting to some other vertices from what was in here. I now add another edge to the spanning tree that it gives me another vertex. I look at the outgoing edges. I may have found a cheaper way to get to that vertex. If I found if there exists some vertex W, for which my new vertex gives me a cheaper way to get there, and that guy was not yet in the tree, this now gives me a better way to potentially add it to the tree. Right? That was the consequence of doing this. Okay? And now I've updated the consequences of adding this new vertex. Once I did that, what do I now do? Find me which vertex is not yet in the tree, okay, but is of lowest weight of all the vertices that are not yet in the tray. Okay, and that's how I got it in there. This is what Prim's algorithm did. Does everybody agree? Okay, it was hard to read SQL. That's basically what it is doing here. Okay? The last vertex I added, update its consequences, then tell me which is the vertex that's not yet in the tree that is I can add for cheapest value. What is the difference between that and Dijkstra? Again, very, very little. Like maybe even overlay is completely different. Probably not. Okay, let's look what I can do. What did I change? It looks almost exactly right, right? Suddenly there's this problem over here. In Prim's algorithm, I added a vertex to the tray. I knew the most desirable edge was the cheapest edge that linked a vertex from that was outside the tree to something that is in the tray, right? As measured by the weight of that edge. In Dijkstra's algorithm, the cost of getting to a vertex that's outside the tray is the cost of the new edge I discovered plus the cost of getting to that old edge. The endpoint to that edge, right? What is the cost of getting to grandma's house? Okay, via this edge? It was the cost of getting to this edge and then taking that edge, right? So in fact, that is the only change in this entire algorithm, okay? Is that the criteria for adding an edge is that it now goes to the shortest instead of taking the shortest edge that it connects me, I take the edge that when I add its incoming edge, the distance to the source plus the weight of that edge is less than the best way I currently have of getting to the other vertex. And that is the only difference. Okay? Think about it. Okay? Read about this. This algorithm is another one of these things that's more subtle than it looks, okay, but actually not that bad. Any questions? Okay. Finally, I need someone with a cell phone. So I can call my wife so I can get her in the hospital. Someone who's got a cell phone, come on up and let me make a quick call. Thank you very much, and I'll see you guys next time.
Let me hang this up.